So there are three questions that we're going to answer tonight. One question is, what are the hereditary benefits of Abraham and his seed? The second is whether Abraham and his seed have equal benefits, and to how many generations? To how many generations do these benefits extend? So, the first, what are the hereditary benefits? When we think about benefits, first we think of covenant. God and his seed were received into everlasting covenant, brought into everlasting covenant states, and promised to be God's particular people, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, Deuteronomy 26, Exodus 19. So that covenant holiness, under a covenant, we put covenant holiness, is relative. Relative in the sense that it's not qualitative. It's a federal holiness derived from Abraham to his seed, and his seed then is either Jew or Gentile. Covenant promises. So we have promises, which are temporary and spiritual. Temporal and spiritual blessings. What are some of them? Multiplying his seed. His seed would be like the stars. Divine benediction to them. Magnifying his name, making him a blessing, blessing his blessers, cursing his cursers, the divine protection that God would give him, which included remuneration, giving Canaan to him, Genesis 17:8, which is like heaven, making him the father of many nations, making him heir of the world, descent of kings, victoriousness of his seed, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, Genesis 22:17. God to be his God and his seeds, and blessing of all nations and families in him and their seed. Then he has the token of the covenant, which is circumcision. Covenant inauguration by circumcision. Infants were to be circumcised, being in covenant with their parents. So now infants of Abraham's Christian seed are to be baptized. So you have circumcision and baptism answering that particular covenant token. The covenant is the same in substance. Children are still in covenant. Baptism succeeds circumcision as sacramental inauguration, Colossians 2, 10-12. And the grace of the new covenant is not less than what God gave Abraham. It's greater than what he gave him. So Christian infants are no less capable. Thus, a covenant state, a covenant promise, a covenant inauguration are the inheritance. So we could say inheritance of Abraham's seed. Do Jews and Gentiles have equal shares? Second question. So Abraham and his seed, do they have all equal benefits, Jews and Gentiles alike? Well, generally, Abraham and his seed, whether Christ is the primary seed or the lines come down to him, Jews, Christians, they're the secondary seed. They're joint heirs, joint sharers, but they all do not equally have privileges in the same way, because they are not all equally interested. Abraham was given certain ideas to convey covenant blessings in Christ, and Christ is the eminent seed in whom all the promises are founded, Galatians 3. So Jews share as a natural seed, we should say natural, they share in that. Christians, are they natural seeds? Mm. So these guys are spiritual. The real seed, Jew or Gentile, those have invisible saving interests. The visible seed have only outward interest. Therefore, the shares differ according to covenant interest and federal capacity. More particularly, some covenant privileges belong to Christ alone as the head. Things that God told Abraham only Jesus has, particularly as the head, as only accomplishable in him. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Though directed to Abraham, they're only fulfilled in Jesus, which is Paul's argument in Galatians 3. Some privileges were peculiar to Abraham, the greatest of his name, that he should be a blessing and father of many nations, Genesis 17. That was something he was supposed to do. Some belong to the Jewish seed, the inheritance of Canaan, Genesis 17:8. The token of circumcision belonged to them. Some belong to both Abraham and to his Jewish and Christian seed. There's temporal blessings of benediction and protection and spiritual things, God being their God and blessing in Christ. Or the outward advantages of the covenant, being in covenant, the state of that, certain promises, certain inaugurations that God gave them, certain administrations of the unfolding of the covenant through history and time. They belong to merely visible seed by profession, but the inward saving efficacy belongs to true believing seed, Jewish or Christian, by regeneration. So you always have the difference between a profession and things that come out of regeneration. So they don't have equal benefits. Different things happen with them. Third question. How many generations may this covenant inheritance be extended? To how many? The covenant is called, what kind of covenant?
Everlasting.
Everlasting. Very confusing term when you mess up covenant. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee for an everlasting covenant. So if you don't understand all of this, then when you get to this word, all of that goes bye-bye. Mary saying, he hath holpen his servant Israel as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Luke 1. Everlasting in Scripture sometimes means ancient. It can mean that. Habakkuk 3:6. Sometimes it means endless. Matthew 25:46. Sometimes it means for a really long time. But it's a determinate time. So it's a really long time, but then it ends. Like in Exodus 21 and Leviticus 25 and Exodus 31. But this inheritance, in which he's talking to Abraham about, is everlasting. In saving benefits, it's both ancient, existing from Adam, and perpetual. When will it end? In this world. When will it end in the world to come? Never. It never ends. In temporal benefits, there are certain things as part of it that do end. So Canaan to the Jews till the time of the New Testament. Heirs of the world to Abraham's Christian seed to the world's end. In outward administration, it endured from Adam until Christ by circumcision and sacrifice, and from Christ till the second coming by gospel ordinances. Which gospel ordinances will we have when we get to heaven?
None of Jesus.
Right? Preaching? No. Praying? No. Reading the Bible? No. Family worship? We could kind of argue a little bit about that. Right? All that? No. So it extends collectively to Abraham's whole seed, Jewish and Christian, real and apparent, until the end of the world. And his Jewish seed until Christ, and his Christian seed among Gentiles until the end of the world. It also is what we would call distributively set, in that to his Jewish seed, temporal things and spiritual things extended through their generation until Christ's coming, which is about 42 generations. We'll get into numbers and stuff when we start dealing with the Babylonian captivity. Matthew talks about that. 54 by Luke, for example. Christ, the eminent seed, being heir of all, required their continuance in covenant until his revelation, till he came on the scene. So also to his Christian seed, it's also distributed in an interesting way. In that Jew and Gentile, spiritual and temporal things, so far as it's good for them, extended from the conversion of the Gentiles and calling of the Jews to the end of the world. Singularly, it is by profession, and the covenant inheritance extends outwardly only for so many generations as they continue visibly owning the covenant. So people have to own it. What does that mean? What does it mean to own the covenant? So one professes it.
Stipulated?
Yeah. It's part of the duties that are set in that particular way. But to the real seed, by true faith, the inheritance extends temporally and spiritually through successive generations in this life and eternally in the life to come. Because God often honors godly parents with godly seed for many generations. He does that with like Lois. He does that with Eunice. He does that with Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:5. He did it with Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Their line were godly, Luke 13:28. And that Christ's direct line from Adam to Christ, about 74 generations, they were true believers that were saved by him in that way in particular. So in thinking that God's covenant with Abraham and his seed is their inheritance, temporal and eternal, in thinking about these three things. What are the benefits? Do they have equal benefits? And how many generations do they extend? They extend temporally and spiritually. Piece by piece as we consider it. So we stop there.